I'm going to give you a little brief history of the psalm as it was written, and then each group is going to bring their report. We're going to hand the microphone around so that your comments can be recorded. So Psalm 35 dates all the way back to time of David with his conflicts with Saul during the time when he was being persecuted and chased around the nation. David was labeled as a rebel and false accusations about him wanting to steal the throne. At a time, one time Saul brought 3,000 men against David. But we know that David consistently turned to God in his times of trouble. So would the reader please, from that group, read Psalm 35.
Yep. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and armor. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to me, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Since they hid their net for me without cause dug a pit for me, may ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. Ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things I know nothing about. They repay me evil for good and leave me like one bereaved. Yet they will ill. I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting when my prayers returned to me unanswered. I went about mourning as though for my friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief as though weeping for my mother. But when I stumbled, they gathered in the assailants, gathered against me without my knowledge. They slandered me without ceasing. Like the ungodly, they maliciously mocked. They gnashed their teeth at me. How long, Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my precious life from these lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. Do not let those gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Do not let those who hate me without reason maliciously wink the eye. They do not speak peaceably, but they devise false accusations against those who live quietly in the land. They sneer at me and say, aha, aha, with their own eyes we have seen it. Lord, you have seen this. Do not be silent. Do not be far from me, Lord. Awake and arise to my defense. Contend for me, my God and Lord. Vindicate me in your righteousness, Lord, my God. Do not let them gloat over me. Do not let them think, aha, just what we wanted, or say, we have swallowed them up. May all who gloat over my distress be put to shame and confusion. May all who exalt themselves over me be clothed with shame and disgrace. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long.
Why would this psalm, question number one, be chosen at the time of the revolution?
Because it talks about...
Hold the mic up, please.
Because it talks about the protection that God is going to give them. In verse 5, in verse 5, it talks about let the Lord chase them. So we would need his help when we pursue them. Verse 2, take shield and buckler. They would need to be covered with God's armor for their protection when they do that. And verse 18, give him thanks so that they would give God the glory and the thanks for all that he has done, because it is by his power that they would need to have.
All right. So, we have more? Okay, question two.
How does this apply in our time and situation? We need to turn our eyes to God for our deliverance, continually praise and thank God for who he is and what he will do. And we ask for justice from God on people who do evil.
Okay, I'll pass the mic to... the next psalm that we're doing is Psalm 46. And this was a different time period. This was actually during King Hezekiah's time. And the Levites, the son of Korah, are responsible for the writing of this psalm. And if you remember, during Hezekiah's time, Sennacherib and his army came against Judah, and Hezekiah refused to surrender. And God miraculously killed 185,000 of the Assyrian army. And that is the context for this psalm.
Okay, I have the NLT version. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From every break of the day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress.
Question one.
Why would this psalm be important to the American Congress in 1774? This psalm emphasizes God's power over both nations and nature, and they needed to rely on that and keep their focus on that, that God would supply what they needed for their just cause. And then we notice that in the beginning, there's a little subtitle, as Pastor read, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And then it says a song for Alamot. And Alamot in Hebrew means the women. And it seems like God was especially encouraging the women in this psalm, who would be keepers of the home fire while the guys were out fighting. Of course, it applies to the men too. But the British, one of the things they required was for their troops to be put up in the homes of people. And so this is good for the women as they saw their husbands and family members go off to war, and keeping the fire at home, that God's power is great to keep them.
Okay, next one. You don't have to read the question, just read the answer.
How it applies to our own time, I just think that we must stand with God. There is so much chaos going on in our country, in the world, and this is, we're standing with God. We, you know, just be still and know that I am God. So don't be afraid. Even people in the churches are coming, there's so much hatred. If you have beliefs that are godly, that are Bible-based, you're being accused of being hateful. And so to me, it's just encouragement. We stand with God. God is our leader. Jesus Christ is our Lord.
Amen. Amen. So Psalm 48 is very similar time, the same writers, same author, and it was also during King Hezekiah's time. It was more of the celebration psalm because of God's victory.
Psalm 48. How great is the Lord, how deserving of praise in the city of our God, which sits on his holy mountain. It is high and magnificent. The whole earth rejoices to see it. Mount Zion, the holy mountain, is the city of the great King. God himself is in Jerusalem's towers, revealing himself as its defender. The king of the earth joined forces and advanced against the city. But when they saw it, they were stunned. They were terrified and ran away. They were gripped with terror and writhed in pain like a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the mighty ships of Tarshish, shattered by a powerful east wind. We had heard of the city's glory, but now we have seen it ourselves, the city of the Lord of heaven's armies. It is the city of our God. He will make it safe forever. O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people on Mount Zion rejoice. Let all the towns of Judah be glad because of your justice. Go, inspect the city of Jerusalem. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls and tour of all the citadels, that you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die.
Question one.
When you look at it, it's kind of a battle plan. It starts off with God is with them in the citadels. In verse 4, the kings joined forces, and when they advanced and when they saw her, they were astonished and fled in terror. It was the plan. Follow the Lord's plan. It goes on to say, you know, they rejoice. God is in the temples. Count the towers. You know, view her. And take it to the next generation. If they wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't have it.
Right. There'd be no next generation in America. Question number two.
You have to. Oh, I do. Okay. Never mind. In the last section of that, it talks about the next generation, and that we are to make sure the next generation knows about God and what it is. And at the very end, he said, I am the God. I am the God you are supposed to be with until death. And when you think about it, we don't have death when we're with God. We have eternal life. But for those who don't have him in this nation, they are looking at true death, eternal death. And we look for eternal life because God is our God always.
Amen. I want to pass the mic to the last group. Psalm 50 is, it says, a psalm of Asaph. And Asaph was the worship leader under David and under Solomon. That scholars believe that this psalm was written at a time when genuine devotion to God was in decline. And so it was a call to stir people up. You know, the temple had not yet been built. And it was a call to remember who God is and to worship him at that time. So Psalm 50.
The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God, not your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all of the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the fields is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows for the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and you speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this, then, you who forgot God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God.
Question one.
They would have seen these verses as God is the ultimate judge, that kings, government, and nations are held accountable to God, that true worship is more than a ritual, and it was a call to repentance and offering encouragement to those that hear God's voice and seek him sincerely.
Okay, number two.
God doesn't need our stuff. It's his anyways. He wants us to have a sincere relationship with him and not go through rituals, not have empty prayers, not give just because it's required, give because we want to give. And that's what I think is important for us today.
Okay, good. Amazing that they picked these four psalms to read before the declaration was signed. They laid the foundation that their only success would happen if they were dependent upon God. We can look at that personally. Our only success in life will happen the more dependent we are on God. We can think about that for our church, for our community, for our state, for our nation. And that is why it is so important what's happening in our nation is God's people need to stand up. God's people need to declare, because the farther this nation gets from God, the more trouble we will be in. So in closing, I'm going to have Nancy just come to the piano. I just want to sing part of this song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Let's make it our commitment this morning, personally, for our community, for our nation.